Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Philly Sports Live here on this nice Sunday night here. And Steve Lewis here with you as we break down another Philadelphia Eagles loss. Seems to be a ongoing trend here this year, fortunately. And we'll talk about some other things going on. Sixers are going to be opening up preseason this week. Also, we're going to have Flyers starting their season, and Phillies did wrap up. So we got every one of the pro teams on the agenda. Another big win for the Temple Owls, too. So we'll try to touch all the bases here and put together a nice show for you here, me and Mike Sekulow. Any other way to say it. I mean, this is just, it's a 1-3 team, and that's what they look like. It's tough to lose a close game against a division opponent. I don't think that we underestimated Washington at all. I think they kind of look like they are what they are, but same thing can be said about our Eagles. It's just that this is a 1-3 team, and that's what we're dealing with here. Still plenty of time in the season, but things are just not looking that good. And you also got to take in consideration, too, that this team, for all intents and purposes, is pretty much at full strength. I mean, this is a relatively healthy team. A couple of injuries here, but not necessarily key injuries. So, Mike Zeka, what you see is what you've got right now, and it's not all that pretty.
Yeah, I guess, well, as always, Steve, first and foremost, definitely good to be with you here on this Sunday evening. Another tough one. It's tough when you lose games to a bad football team, but maybe we are a bad football team as well. So, obviously a game that definitely slipped away. There's a lot of things you can talk about, but unfortunately we only have 29 minutes left here in the show, so.
Okay, well, I'll just real quickly make my points. First thing, time of possession, and this is something we just keep going back to. 41 minutes to 18 minutes, not acceptable. I mean, obviously, if the other team has the ball for three quarters, they're probably going to win, and that's more or less what happened. Another point I have to make is Sam Bradford, I thought, showed some decent composure in this game, did some nice things, didn't have a career day or anything, but look at the amount of protection that he got, which was just dreadful. Actually stuck with it, stuck in there, and put together a decent day with what he has dealt with, which was absolutely nothing. Receivers, somebody's got to get open down the field. There were a few nice plays here and there, but just wasn't enough. Bradford barely completed 50% of his passes, and it wasn't him most of the time. Most of the time is there was just nobody open. And the last thing, coaching, I mean, so many things went wrong, and just the obvious just wasn't there. You think back to 3rd-and-19 in this game, and a draw play is run, and somehow they give up about 30 yards of the play. That's not the first ever draw play that's happened on a 2nd-and-19 or a 2nd-and-20 or 3rd-and-19 as it was. It's just that the obvious is when a team's going to run a play, they run it and they can't stop it. And then the same thing goes on the offense, is the, just pure predictability all the time. These are the common things that just continue to haunt this team as the weeks go by, and those are all signs of a bad team, and that's what we have here.
Yeah, I mean, some good points you make there, Steve. I mean, take on it, I agree. Obviously the first half was pretty ugly, but Bradford did do some nice things in this game. He did get beat up, obviously. I mean, he was sacked 5 times. So I'm not gonna speak that negatively about Bradford, because I mean, quite frankly, the offensive line was terrible. And I mean, like I said, I mean, he was sacked 5 times. But when he did have some protection, he did some nice things, getting the ball down the field, which we haven't seen in the previous 3 games. But I mean, the big thing here, Steve, and I told you this earlier this evening, I mean, the offensive line is a huge problem. And I mean, there's no point of spending big money in the off season, which you did for DeMarco Murray and Ryan Matthews, if you're not going to have a good offensive line. And that's ultimately, I think, I mean, if this team had a better offensive line, I think a lot of their problems would go away. So, I mean, you have good running backs on this team, but if you don't have a good offensive line, I mean, they're going to struggle. I mean, you look at DeMarco Murray today, 8 carries, 36 yards. Ryan Matthews, 5 for 20. Sproles, 4 for 17. I mean, you need to do better than that. Now, granted, I know they only ran 51 plays today, I think it was, but, I mean, the offensive line is the biggest problem on this team, and, I mean, they're just, to me, like, I mean, you invested a lot of money in the offseason with bringing in running backs, but, I mean, it just all goes to waste if you don't have a good offensive line. And I think in terms of Chip, the GM, I don't think you really did a good job in the offseason of getting a solid offensive line, and they're not very deep at offensive line either. I guess moving on, I mean, obviously they had a lot of drop passes today. Again, obviously that's a problem. New field goal kicker, we'll see how long he lasts here. I mean, he missed a field goal, he missed an extra point. Defensively, I mean, I didn't think the defense played all that bad. I thought Malcolm Jenkins had a fabulous game. I mean, he's been, in my opinion, he's been great through 4 games this season. Obviously, Jenkins, Barwin did some nice things. I mean, but again, I mean, like you mentioned, Steve, I mean, overall the defense did a really good job. I mean, through 3.5 quarters, the run defense was spectacular. But, I mean, when you're on the field for 40-plus minutes, I mean, in that last drive, I mean, and fatigue definitely does come into play. I mean, they have a 90-yard drive to win the game, and it just gets to a point where, I mean, you're on the field so much, I mean, you just can't – fatigue is going to set in, and I think you saw that in the last drive. So, I mean, and that goes to your point that you continue to hammer away with the time of possession, which was a huge, once again, huge disparity. So, I mean, there's a lot of, like I said, a lot of things that we can talk about, but again, I just think the number one thing is the offensive line. That's, I think, the biggest problem, and that's why you're seeing this offense have its highs and lows, because the offensive line is so inconsistent.
Yeah, the offensive lines get to the point now, Zeca. I think DeMarco Murray, if he were on another team, at this point, guy's got 47 yards on the season, he would probably end up getting cut. I don't think in the history of football that, I mean, I don't know that I have seen a running back be tackled for a loss more than DeMarco Murray has this season. He must have had at least 25 carries for a loss this year. It's just totally unacceptable, and this continues. But there's just so many problems with this team from a coaching standpoint, and I don't know what it is, why this keeps happening, but every game this team comes out just completely flat in the first half. We're 4 for 4 now where this has happened. And what is it going to take to get this team prepared for a game? It kind of looked like we see with Chip Kelly that this is a coach that has become really good at making halftime adjustments and getting this team ready for the second half. But when it comes to, you know, getting this product there, and when it comes to, you know, what you got going on the script, first 15 usually turns out to be a 3 and out. First drive for the defense usually results in at least 3 points, not 7 points. This team has to continues to come out flat And to me, that's really the one thing above all that's reflecting on this coach. He's just not getting these guys ready to play.
Yeah, I mean, you can't come out flat and expect to win a lot of games. They've bounced back nicely in some of these games in the second half, like the Atlanta game. They got back into the ball game today. They got into the game, took the lead. Very well could have won the game, but I mean, you're just really putting yourself up against it. When you're getting down in the first half, you're coming out flat. You're having three and out after three and out after three and out. It's going to be a long season if that continues. I mean, they got to come out sharper in the first half. You can't keep putting yourself behind the eight ball.
Right. Yeah, they did against the Jets. They did have a good first half. For what it's worth, that was a little bit better, but it just seemed like today we just fell right back into that trap. And I don't know what it is with this coach, if he's just stubborn, if he just can't adapt to, that the NFL is different, that the clock doesn't stop on first down, that you don't have 100 zillion guys on your roster. But this isn't college football. We have to realize that we can't leave our defense on the field for 42 minutes. It's just not working. And you saw that in the last drive that the Redskins had there. I mean, just slowly chipped away that clock and just slowly marched down the field and were able to take their time and kill that tired defense. And again, back to coaching, why aren't you using any of your timeouts at the end of that game? You have time to at least, make them score with some time on the clock if you're going to do that. That never happened. I mean, we just watched the time dwindle away. We held on to the timeouts and did just about nothing with it. It was just poor all around.
Yeah, it's a shame because overall through four games, I don't think the defense has been all that bad considering the amount of time they've been on the field. I feel like through the core of the season, Steve, the defense has actually been pretty decent. Obviously I mentioned Barwin and Jacobs. I mean, the rookie Jordan Hicks he kind of had his breakout game last week. He's been very impressive. I think the D has been pretty solid for the most part. Obviously they had issues with Julio Jones in the first game, but I think every team in the NFL has issues with Julio Jones. But it's just a shame because I don't think they've been all that bad, to be honest with you.
No, they haven't. And, you look at this, they give up 23 points today, but they pretty much played two games today, so... if you cut that in half, that 11.5 points, it's really not all that bad. So, Zach, I'd like to move on to some other topics tonight, not give this team our entire night here. Is anything else you want to hit on here before we switch it up?
Yeah, I guess anything. Obviously, we had another full slate of games today. Anything stick out from you from, today's other action?
Well, just that some real disappointing teams we're starting to see. Kansas City's one was another game. I mean, I expected them to be much better. I did not expect the Atlanta Falcons to be the juggernaut that they're turning into to be. And the other thing is, too, a very impressive win, I thought, today from St. Louis going into Arizona, win, very difficult place to win a football game. And another team of the disappointment with Miami just, spent a whole lot of money in free agency and just really, they kind of made the big splash in the offseason like we did. And much like us, they really don't have anything to show for. It's very sad if you're a Dolphins fan.
Yeah, and ironically, you mentioned Kansas City, Steve. Chip Kelly and Andy Reid both have had, I guess, each 36 games under their belt, and ironically, they both are 21-15 overall. Both are 1-3 on the season, and both are 0-1 in playoff games. So
it's
just
amazing how that worked out.
Yeah, how it's identical. It's very interesting how that goes. But it looks like Macklin's having a big year for them. But nonetheless, yeah, I mean, some other points. Yeah, you mentioned about Miami. I mean, I have a friend of mine who's like just thinks like the world of Ryan Tannehill, and I don't see it. I mean, I don't know. I mean, this guy's proven nothing in the NFL. It's the most wins he has in the season, like 7 or 8. I mean, that Miami team just, I mean, they flat out haven't had a quarterback since Dan Marino. I don't know what, like I said, a couple of friends of mine have this fascination with Ryan Tannehill. I'm not seeing it at all. I mean, I don't know what your thoughts on that are.
I mean, it's a guy who throws the ball a lot. If you play fantasy football, FanDuel, DraftKings, whatever, I mean, that kind of thing might take into play of that. People might think that's impressive. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, guy's record's bad, and you're really starting to see that this year.
Yeah, this hasn't proven a lick. I mean, just speaking from a NFL perspective, not a fantasy perspective, yeah, I mean, he hasn't proven a lick in this league. But, yeah, I mean, some other things, I mean, Atlanta's playing really solid football under their new head coach. They're undefeated. Cincinnati remains undefeated. We'll see if they can finally get a playoff win this year, if indeed they do make the playoffs. Carolina's undefeated. So Green Bay, obviously, probably no surprise they remain undefeated. There's a few surprises. I don't think people thought, like, Atlanta would be 4-0, but they're playing really well. I mean, they've always had some offensive weapons, but they're really starting to put it together this year. But other than that, I mean, Denver's also undefeated as well. But, I'm not sure even the point of the season. I mean, Green Bay and New England just look head and shoulders above everyone else right now.
Yeah, they do, but I think that, you know, you have to give some credit to Cincinnati. I think that they really are a strong team, and I think if you're going to put another team in that category of Green Bay and New England, I think Cincinnati deserves to be in the conversation a little bit. They're very good. I wanted to talk some baseball, if we can.
Yeah, well, I suppose.
So, interesting turn of events, second half of the year. You got to say, definitely not a successful year, if we have to put a label on it. Very unsuccessful season. We started with Ryan Sandberg. We ended with Pete McCannon. I thought did a nice job second half. Different group of players on this team second half than we saw in the first half. Mikel Franco came back this weekend, was injured, only played half a season, still was second on the team in RBI, put up 50 RBIs. I thought that was pretty impressive. Odubel Herrera ended with we led the team in batting average of .297. I thought I was pretty impressed with that. And, you know, you look at the win total this year, finished 27 games out of first place. Obviously, that's not acceptable. Only won 63 games. It could have been worse. Still not good enough. And I don't really know if there's much else to say to that. This team, I think, has some promise going into the future. I think that's all we can focus on here, but I think it was just a long, bad season. It did get a little bit better, but last place season, not memorable, and one at which this team has had many, many of, and it's very depressing.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they wrapped it up today with a win, wrapped it up at 63-99. Got that last win today to avoid a 100 loss season, but yeah, it's kind of depressing. I mean, obviously, we got really spoiled with all those division titles a few years back, and I mean, usually on the last Sunday of the season. I mean, we were excited, getting ready for our first playoff game on like a Thursday afternoon with Cole Hamels on the mound, most likely. I mean, those were, and it just seems like such a distant memory. It seems like so long ago. And now, I mean, now you watch the last telecast and you're like, well, I'll talk to you next year from Clearwater. So it's just, I mean, maybe we took that all for granted all those years making the playoffs and winning those division titles. But, I mean, that may have been the best Phillies era in their history. But, yeah, it is a little depressing. I mean, but, I mean, I think there are some bright spots to look at. I mean, I think moving forward here, I mean, you did see a nice year, like you said, from Herrera. Obviously, Franco, obviously, he did come back this weekend, but I definitely think he's going to be a bright spot. You have some kids on the farm, guys like J.P. Crawford and Nick Williams, who led Reading to the championship series in the Eastern League in Double-A. There are definitely kids coming up through the farm. And I think looking pitching-wise, I mean, I think with Nola and Eichhoff really showed some good things. So I definitely think you'll see those two guys in the rotation next year. So not really sure what the rest of the starting rotation is going to look like, but I think it's safe to say you will see those two guys in that starting rotation. Obviously, Ken Giles at the back end of the bullpen closing out games. So there are some bright spots to look forward to, some young guys that I think are going to be here for a while. But, I mean, again, I think going – I mean, not sure what they're going to do in the off season, but, I mean, most likely, again, I don't think there's going to be huge expectations, at least for next year. And maybe in possibly 17 might be the year when they start to maybe get closer to 80, 90 wins, maybe, hopefully.
Well, look, if you look at the playoff teams that are, you know, going to be participating next week, this is a different Major League Baseball than we're dealing with now. You don't need to necessarily build and build and build to become a winner. Sometimes, you know, you look at the case of the Houston Astros. I mean, it practically happened overnight. So I don't think that it's an impossible task that we could get there in the next few years. I think it actually could happen, but especially pitching-wise, I mean, we do have a long ways to go. It was nice to see David Buchanan take the mound today. I kind of was under the opinion that this is probably going to be at least his last game ever as a Philly. Didn't expect him to it did not really show me all that much this year, but you're right. I mean, there's some bright spots and bright things coming up here, but the team really does need some help pitching. And it's just interesting. You look at what's going on in the playoffs. Zeca, Ben Revere is going to be on the playoff roster. Chase Utley, Jimmy Rollins are going to the playoffs. All of these guys that were Cole Hamels is another one. All of these guys that were on this team at the beginning of the year going to the playoffs someplace else. One guy you won't see in 2016, though, Cliff Lee was reported, I believe, last week. He will not his option will not be picked up for 2016, so we will not see Cliff Lee again, which I think is probably a good thing.
Well, we didn't see him this year.
Right.
I don't know how to tell you different. I don't think he was in the dugout for one game.
Now, I mean, who would have thought, Mike Zeca, that Ichiro Suzuki would have pitched more games at Citizens Bank Park and pitched more innings at Citizens Bank Park than Cliff Lee did this year? That just, to me, it sounds crazy, but that's what happened today.
Yeah. I mean, well, you probably could get some cheap jersey T-shirts at Modell's at Cliff Lee, probably.
Yeah. and then you had told me something today. Apparently, Jimmy Rollins coached the Dodgers today.
Yeah, he did manage the Dodgers today. I mean, it was a meaningless game for them. I mean, Dodgers were locked into the two seed in the National League, and he did He was the manager today, actually. I think he did take out Kershaw from the game, and I think he also did wear a Tommy Lasorda jersey as well.
Now, did he get on any of his players for running out ground balls when they had an infield play? Did he come out and say, like, what are you doing running out that ground ball?
Yeah, like, yeah, do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah.
One of those type deals. But, yeah, if you do have the chance to see that highlight, yeah, he was wearing a Lasorda jersey. And Tommy was there in the stands today, too. But and also Cole Hamels' complete game for the Rangers, winning the American League West for them over the Angels. So, yeah, I mean, there's definitely a sprinkle of ex-Phillies that are going to be playing in the coming weeks here. But real quick, I mean, I don't know if you've put any thought, do you have a World Series prediction, like National League, American League, and champion?
I was just going to say, the two teams that I think that will be there in the end, I like the Toronto Blue Jays to get there for the American League, and I think the Houston Astros, I mean, it's just such a great story. It's just such a great thing that a team can bounce back from being a laughing stock. I wish that they could also be there from the American League. That's going to be the team I'm rooting for. As far as the National League goes, I mean, I guess, why not get behind the Cubs, right? I mean, is there any reason that you can't root for the Cubs?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of my predictions, not what I want to see, but, I mean, I do think the Cardinals are going to win the National League. I mean, I know it's probably a boring pick, but, I mean, they won 100 games for a reason this year. And they just, I mean, it seems like them or the Giants win every year, and the Giants aren't in the playoffs this year. So, because for whatever reason, the one team that the Cardinals can't beat is the San Francisco Giants, and they're not going to be facing them in the playoffs. So, I mean, I definitely do like the Cardinals to win the National League. I mean, they're just so good when it comes to playoff time. So I do think they're going to win the National League. And then in terms of the American League, I'm going to go with Kansas City. I mean, I know the trendy pick probably is Toronto, but, I mean, I think the Royals got a lot of experience from last year. They have a lot of those guys back this year. So I do think the Royals are going to go to the World Series, and I'm going to probably go with Cardinals over Royals. Yeah, the Cardinals get another one. At least that's what I think is going to happen. But what I would want to actually see, I mean, I'd like to see I definitely would like to see the Cubs do it. I mean, obviously it's been, generations since they've won a World Series. So, I mean, I'd really like to root for teams like the Cubs. I'd like to see J-Roll and Utley do well with the Dodgers. And it'd be nice to maybe see, like, Toronto make a run because it's been so long for them as well.
Like you said to me, remember what happened last time. I don't know if this is going to go very well for you. I think what will happen here is that the Mets will probably win. And at that point, the Eagles will be well on their way to a 1-6 record, and I think that's about where we're at right now.
The Mets are going to win the World Series.
Yeah, the way things are going right now. I mean, you said, like, what could possibly be worse? I think that's it there.
Oh, look at that. You know, a Subway Series is not out of the possibility. I mean, Mets-Yankees could very well be, I mean, that is a possibility. They're both in this year for the first time in a while together.
The Mets were really good this year.
So, but just the Cardinals, they seem to win like every other year, so it's tough to bet against them.
All right, so real finishing up here, we got Sixers and Flyers starting. You were impressed by some comments made by a very confident Jahlil Okafor.
Yeah, Yeah, I am excited. I mean, obviously the Phillies wrap up today, but obviously we have the Flyers starting later this week. The Sixers have their first preseason game Tuesday. I mean, Okafor and Jeremy Grant both said that, I mean, their goals this year, they want to make the playoffs. I mean, it's exciting. I mean, obviously I don't have championship expectations for the Sixers this year or anything, but I am actually very excited to see this team. I mean, a lot of guys on this team have a year under their belt. They definitely upgraded in talent. I mean, you bring Okafor in, you bring Stauskas in. I mean, more experience. I mean, a lot of these guys have actual NBA games under their belt now. I think the talent is definitely better than it was last year. I'm actually very excited for this six. I mean, I'm usually excited for most Sixer seasons, but I'm specifically excited for this season. And, I mean, Okafor, like, I mean, he wants to make the playoffs. He wants to be Rookie of the Year. He wants to dominate. And I'm excited for it. I'm excited to see this team and hopefully grow. And to be honest with you, I mean, in all honesty, I mean, you look at 2 years ago, the Bucks won 15 games. And then last year they won 41 and made the playoffs. So, I mean, it can be done. It definitely can. I mean, there's no need to tank anymore. I mean, we can switch picks with the Kings. So, very excited for this Sixers season. They wrapped up training camp yesterday.
Yeah, I guess my final thought on that is, this town is starving for a superstar. And the closest thing that we have right now is going to be Jahlil Okafor. This is the best chance that we have to have a superstar player here. Right now, we don't have anybody on any of our teams. So this is it. This has got to be Jahlil Okafor's year to break out, come out and show that, you know, he's going to be this dominant player in the NBA for the next decade or two. It could happen. It could be us one of these times. And if anyone here right now has the chance, it has to be him. And it should be him. And I think it will be him.
Yeah. I mean, this guy has won his whole life. I mean, he won a national championship year last year with Duke. A lot of people say, I mean, he's the best big man to come out since Timmy Duncan. So it's exciting stuff. And I think the big thing is I think he wants to be here. I mean, you saw him at a Sixers event a couple weeks ago. He was wearing a Moses Malone jersey. He's hanging out with Brett Brown at the Eagles Cowboys game a couple weeks ago. He legitimately, I think, wants to be here. And I think it's going to be a fun story to follow.
Yeah, so, all right, well, we'll get right back at it soon. And Zeka is great as always. We just saw New Orleans miss a field goal, which keeps those Dallas Cowboys alive in this game. So before the night gets any worse, we'll close out the show.
All right, take it easy, buddy.
All right, bye.